All right, fresh off the vine. Everyone stand up. Come on, they should be happy now that you've done this. Come on. I'm going to be speaking on self-control, okay? But just for a split second, I want you to lose all self-control, okay? And if you're sitting down, I want you to dance in your seats and let's go. Let's just think about what's up on the screen and get into the swing of things. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation of the law of Moses, to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, oh my goodness, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature of this cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We just pray today, Lord, you'll stir things up. Lord, as we prayed this morning in the prayer room, from the head down, stir things up, I pray. Lord, I pray, Lord, as this message has come together in the wee hours of this morning, Lord, I pray let every ear and eye and mind be attentive of what you would have to say this morning. And Lord, I pray, fill me afresh as I deliver your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, I was rushing to find a little story I could tell you. I love stories. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little story. Okay. During the early days of aviation, a stunt pilot was selling rides in his single aeroplane. And he was getting really tired, and it was a long business, and he thought, oh, I'm just going to retire, I'm just going to close, shut shop. But one day he got into an argument with an old farmer who insisted upon taking his wife along for a ride at no extra charge. Look, said the pilot, I'll take you both up for the price of one if you promise not to utter a sound throughout the entire trip, because I hate screaming, it puts me off. And if you make a sound, the price will be doubled. Right, because he knows that every time he goes up and does acrobats, people are screaming. So he goes, I can make some money here. The deal was made and they all climbed aboard the plane. The pilot then proceeded to put the aircraft through maneuvers designed to make the bravest person tremble. But not a sound came from the back where his passengers sat. Exhausted, he set the plane down and the farmer climbed out and the pilot said, I made moves up there that even frightened me, yet you guys never said a word. You're fearless, man. I thank you, replied the farmer, but I almost admit there was one time when you almost had me. And he said, when was that? The pilot asked. And the farmer said, that was about the time my wife fell out of the plane. Talk about self-control. Talk about self-control. How many of you would agree with that many of our problems in our lives and many of the problems facing our society today stem from a lack of self-control? We see all kinds of evidence of lack of self-control. Spending, greed, materialism, anger, rudeness, drug abuse, illicit sex, affairs, and on the list goes. Describing a society that lives with a desire for immediate gratification, we cannot control ourselves. And the problem is not just in our society, but also in the church. Okay? Please listen to me today. This is probably going to be punchy because I was grumpy this morning. All right? But I think we need to hear this. I needed to get this. Many of us wonder why we can't break that bad habit in our life. We are Christians and we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives, but we can't break that bad habit or sinful behavior. Why can't I put my phone down? Why can't I take control over my spending habits? Why can't I get more done with my time? Why can't I say no to these temptations that come into my life? Now, what does the Bible say about a person who lacks self-control? Proverbs 25:28. And I encourage you all to read the book of Proverbs. It's great. Proverbs 25:28, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks what? Self-control. A person without self-control is like an ancient city that has no walls. And when the enemy comes, the city is open and vulnerable to attacks from all sides. Now, when the temptation comes into their lives, there's nothing to stop it. Now, God doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us to have self-control. Now, there are five basic steps for us to follow in developing self-control, which I'm going to share with you this morning. There's five. Okay, the first one is admit that you have a problem. Turn to the person next to you and say, I think you may have a problem. It's probably you sitting next to them. Now, this is the very first step. All right. We see some. Now, this is the very first step in developing self-control. Take responsibility for your lack of self-control. James tells us, each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. I love that. Notice where the source of temptation comes from. It doesn't say the devil made me do it. It does not say my lack of self-control comes from my dysfunctional parents or dysfunctional background. It doesn't say that my past experience or abuse that was happened in my life or a painful experience in my past that I can't control my behavior today. It doesn't say that. The source of our lack of self-control is us, is you. We do bad things because we like to do them. And we need to admit that right up front before we can go any further. Often instead of admitting that there is a problem or that we have a source of the problem, we want to blame somebody, something else, or our past. Many times, instead of admitting our problems, we want to deny that we even have a problem. We say, what problem? There's no problem. It's not a big deal. I can get control over this anytime. If I want to stop, I can stop. Or we rationalize the problem and we say, well, this is just the way I am. It was the way I was raised. Or we're just hot-blooded people and that's why we fly off the handle the way we do. I've always been this way. Well, this one I hear a lot. I'm only human. Or we all will fail and do. So we rationalize our problem rather than taking responsibility for our problem. But we will never begin. We will never begin to gain self-control if we do that. God says very clearly the problem is right here. It is our own evil desire. And if we're going to begin to gain self-control, we have to admit that there is a problem within us. Now, where you're lacking self-control in your life, where are you lacking self-control in your life? Think about it. What is there that you lack self-control in? Do you have a problem with alcohol? Time management? Drugs? Temper? Gossip? The way you spend your money? Lust? Greed? Stop elbowing David, Kyla. Greed?
The way she spends my money.
Laziness? Eating? I'm looking at you, I'm not looking at my wife, all right? So that's why I'm doing that. But where is the area you lack self-control? Where is it? Identify that area and identify it as a problem and then begin to bring it to God. That is the starting point to developing self-control. If you're writing notes, write this: I lack self-control in, and you fill out the blank space. I lack self-control in. And please, if you have more than one, work on one at a time. If you've got multiple ones and you try and work on them all, that's a hard thing to do. But work on one at a time and celebrate when you've broken through. All right? Obviously, if you've got an alcohol problem, don't celebrate with alcohol, all right? So just... Now, some of you will be surprised that even as a kid, my wife's probably told me now many times that I had ADHD. Okay? And the thing about ADHD is that my mind just runs just constantly. And until recently, they've done a lot of study on ADHD, is that people can get an addictive nature to alcohol, to drugs and stuff like that. And that's to soothe the mind from running amok. And that's why when I was younger, I used to smoke 2 packets of cigarettes a day. I used to get into drugs and alcohol. And I didn't realize that that's why I was doing what I was doing. But thank God I found Jesus, who was able to work through those things and help me, with the help of the Holy Spirit, help me to get through a lot of those things. I couldn't have done it without him. But we see, what I'm sharing this with you is that we all have problems and we all have sort of things that we need to deal with. But I'm telling you, don't think that you've got the strength to deal with these things on your own, because you don't. You need Jesus, amen? You need the Holy Spirit to do it. I can testify to that. I still get tempted. My goodness, I think I shared before, walking down the street of Vic Park once after a meal. You know, someone's standing outside with a cigarette. I thought, oh, gee, I could go a cigarette. But no, the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit within me, no. Plus my wife. All right. Number two, forget your past. Please forget your past. You know, Paul says, I strain towards the things. Forget about the past. When God forgives us of our sins, he forgets it. It's wiped out. And we've got to do the same thing. Forget the past. You need to put your past behind you if you're going to develop self-control. Notice what Paul says: forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward that goal. It's very important that you understand that there is a misconception or a lie that many of us live with in terms of really wanting to change our lives. The lie goes something like this: once a failure, always a failure. I tried to change that in my life before, but I couldn't do it. So there's no way I can do it now. A lie. Or, I can't change. I'm addicted. Another lie. These lies are misconceptions. Hear what you're saying. You're saying that, oh, I'm bound in chains and I am not set free. Well, if you're a child of God, there is nothing impossible. And you're believing a lie. And stop it. You've got to stop it. Because you're not giving glory to God. Amen? Right. So we need to put the past behind us. And we need to look forward to see what God can do in the future and what God can change in our lives. Amen? Failure in the past does not mean that you will never, ever be able to change in the future. However, if we focus on the past or if we dwell on the past failures, then we will fail in the future as well. Have you ever watched a baby, learning to walk? A lot of mums here, a lot of dads here. You know when they get up and like that, and they boom, face plant, if you're not there to hold them. But they do that heaps of times. They just keep falling over. Bang, bang, bang. And some get bruised, but they get up and they go again. Now, what say if a baby got up and just said, oh, stuff that. Some people can walk and some people obviously can't, and I can't. What does the baby do? He gets up again. He gets up again. He gets up again until he walks. It's part of the process. They just get up and try it again. Now, can you imagine that little child who was learning to walk after failing two or three times and deciding this thing is hopeless? Sounds absurd, doesn't it? We may laugh at that and go, yeah, that sounds really dumb. But in the same way, if we really took a good hard look at ourselves, we'd realise that this is the kind of attitude that many of us have in our lives. We need to put the past behind us. It doesn't matter how many times you have failed, get up again and try again. Only this time we must admit our need for God and admit that we are the problem and begin to focus on what God can do instead of focusing on our past. The enemy would want you to focus on your past. He wants to bring all that rubbish up. Number three. This is a good one. Ignore your emotions and feelings. Oh my goodness, today in our society, you know, everything is evolved around feelings. I feel like a dog today. Woof, woof. It's become that absurd. This is a very important step. We put far too much emphasis on our feelings today. Just because we feel something doesn't make it right. We tend to think everything in life has to feel good or it's not worth doing. But our feelings and emotions cannot be a guide in our life because our feelings and our emotions are not reliable sources. Many times we wake up and don't feel like it. Getting up out of bed. I don't want to get up out of bed. Going to work. Studying for that exam. Or being gentle and loving, or going to church. I remember once being told that if I wake up and don't feel like going to church, I've got to go. You've got to go. If you ever wake up and you feel, I don't want to go to church today, go, because the message is probably for you and the enemy doesn't want you to go. Even at conferences, who's been to a conference and go, oh, I'll wag the first couple of sessions today and just have a bit of a me time. I remember I was going to do that once at a conference over in Sydney, and a pastor came and goes, don't you dare, because you're going to miss out on what God's got for you if you miss out on that. And sure enough, I went to it and I was just blown away. It was the best sessions of the whole conference. Following our emotions and feelings will sometimes get us into trouble. Many times our feelings say, I want a second helping. You know, Friday night, Sally and I went out for dinner to a friend's place. And they had beautiful spaghetti, a big bowl of spaghetti. There's only four of us. And they must have put a lot of sugar in it, because I just went, oh, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. And I think I've had about three helpings. Or I want another drink. Or I want to have an affair. Or I need my needs met. Or I want to spend my whole day watching TV. You see how our feelings and emotions often lead us to the opposite of self-control? We need to challenge our emotions. We need to challenge our feelings. We need to line our feelings up with what God says and with what Jesus Christ as the master, and with Jesus Christ as the master of our lives, we can learn to master our emotions. Notice what Paul says, "For the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to self-control and live self-controlled, upright and godly lives." It's all there in black and white. The grace of God teaches us. The grace of God gives us the power to say no to ungodly passions and our feelings and desires. We don't have to depend on our strength because we have the supernatural strength of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yeah? You're pretty looking at me. I'm sorry if I'm being direct, but this is really important, I believe. Number four, avoid temptation. Whew, that's a big one. We need to avoid all things that are tempting to us. If you have a weakness for ice cream, don't keep the ice cream in the house when you're trying to lose weight. I love my ice cream. Why did I say that? If you're tempted by pornography, then stay away from places where it's made available. We need to avoid those areas where we're tempted in life, and we need to identify those areas so we can avoid them. The Bible teaches us that we're to run away from temptations. Ephesians 4:27 says, "We are not to give the enemy opportunity. Do not give a devil a foothold. You see, that's where people look at this and go, "Oh, the devil made me do it." No, the devil didn't made you do it. You went and did it, and that's where the devil then goes, "Great, thank you, I'll take you." We need to stay away from the areas that we know that we're tempted in life. Robert Oren was right when he said, "Most people want to be delivered from temptation, but would like to keep in touch." "Oh, I've got that all sorted out." You know what I'm talking about. I remember when I gave up smoking. You know, Sally said to me, she goes, "I'm not going to marry a smoker." So, but in the back shed, I had a couple of cigarettes in there, you know. Just keeping in touch. What is it in your life that you need to run from? Or turn away from? What is it in your life? What do you need to give away or to avoid in your life? Identify it, turn it over to God, and avoid it at all costs. Which brings us to our last one. Number five, depend on Jesus Christ's power, the Holy Spirit. This is the most important step to lasting self-control. If we want to develop self-control, we need to learn to depend on Jesus Christ's power, the Holy Spirit. We do not have the kind of power to resist temptation on our own strength, as I said before. We're incapable of it, doing it in our own strength, in our own ability. We need Jesus Christ's power, the power of the Holy Spirit, in our life if we're going to resist temptation and overcome the master of our feelings, the master of our desires and passions. We've got to put Jesus Christ as the master of our emotions and our feelings and our passions. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Notice the sequence of this verse. Notice it does not say that if you have the Spirit of God in your life, you will not have any fleshly desires. Let me say that again. It does not say that if you have the Spirit of God in your life, you will not have the fleshly desires. Even as a born-again Christian, you will have temptations and struggles with the flesh. It is an ongoing thing. Paul talks about it. But the promise here is that if we live by following Holy Spirit's directions, we will overcome the desires of the sinful nature. We usually get it wrong and say something like, once I get my act together, I'll start. Or once I deal with a mess in my life, then I'll invite God into my life, or I'll allow the Holy Spirit to help me out. But God is not looking for that. God is not saying to you and me, come to me just as you are. God is saying to you and me, come as just as you are. Just like he did with me when I became a Christian. I always thought, I can't go to church with Sally, or I can't go back in there because I was part of the church, then I left and did my sinful things, and I've got to clean up my act before I go back into church or have a relationship with God. That is a lie. Because I found out that I went into the church, I went into the body of Christ, filthy, rotten. But it was with his power and the love of the people in the church that I was able to overcome a lot of these things. And that's why we should never forsake meeting with each other in fellowship. Because there's nothing new under the sun. And my sister might have had the same problem that I had when I was younger, and she might, or he might be able to come and say, hey, Kerry, I understand. Instead of getting some religious person going, oh, you should just, that's not what we're about. We're not about judging people. If someone walks in through the door in rags, filthy rags, we'll welcome them in. If two guys come in here holding hands, welcome them in. If a prostitute walks in here, welcome her in. Because we're all saved by grace. And the only way they're going to get the love of God, like I got the love of God, is through the people, the church. Yeah, where was I? God's saying, I will give you the power to transform. I will give you the power to change your life. Surrender your life to me. And the truth is that we need Jesus Christ in our lives right now to help us break those bad habits, clean up our lives, and resolve those problems. We need his strength, we need his power, and we need his help in our lives if we're ever going to be truly under control. Can I have the music team up, please? I hope that's enough of a lecture for you this morning. But in what area of your life do you lack self-control? Maybe there's one, maybe there's many areas. Maybe your entire life is way out of control. I know mine used to be. And every now and then it gets a bit out of control. When you surrender your life to Christ, God will transform and change you. That is what God is in the business of doing. That is why Jesus died on the cross for you and me. That is why it's called the good news. It's because God wants us to come. He wants to come into your life. He wants to transform you. He wants to change you. And he wants to get your life under control. Trust me here. He transformed my life. And I look across this room and I see a lot of lives that have been transformed by the grace of God. A lot of you people walking in that grace. You know, a word came to me at 7:54 this morning, and Keith Jemison, I just want to give you a high five, mate, because it impacted me so much. Here I have a brother who was just so faithful. He was probably at home getting ready for church. He goes, this verse popped into his head and he sent it me via text this morning while I was in my... He didn't know what was happening. He didn't know that I had to get up at 5 a.m, wake up my wife and disturb the house and come into church and do this sermon. Because Pastor Steve was sick. And he didn't know what I was going to be preaching on, but God did. And he was faithful enough to send me and bold enough to send me this word from Isaiah 43:18-19. It's probably one of Pastor Fred's favourite verses. That's how he founded this church. But Isaiah 43:18-19, it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." It's a word from God right there for each and every one of you. You see, I'm doing a new thing. I love that part. I'm doing a new thing. If you will allow God to do a new thing in you, do that today. Because this is a powerful word from God to you. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God is going to do something new and wonderful to each and every one of you today. If you believe, if you receive the word, and if you will follow those little five, it's not recipe theology, but if you follow those five things that I gave you this morning, and just allow God to move in your life. You know, you might be arguing with your spouse at the moment over something really, really stupid. And it may not seem stupid to you, but it's been all these little things that have been building up and up and up and up and up. And it's just a little thing that broke the camel's back that now you're in. Give it to God. You know, when couples come to me, and this is a warning to you all, if you come to me and say, "Pastor Carey, we need to come and see you because we've got a major problem in our marriage," the first question I'll be asking you is saying, "Have you prayed about it together?" And I know life's very hard. I mean, Sally and I, we often, she'll go into a prayer closet, I'll go into my prayer closet, and sometimes we do meet up and pray together, but we don't do it every night. I know some people do pray together every night. But God wants to be involved in your life. He does. He loves you so much. He just wants to talk with you. And He wants to guide you. And He wants to help you. He wants to break those chains. He wants you to be free from all the rubbish in your life. Will you do that this morning? Will you do that? If you want to come up in a minute for prayer, you don't have to say, "Oh, Pastor Carey, I've got a problem with X, Y, Z." You just come up quietly and just give it to the Lord. And if you want prayer, I can pray for you, but I don't have to know what you're going through, because God knows what you're going through. But if you do want help in an area of anything, and I'll tell you what, I've been through it all. I've been through the pornography. I've been through the addictions and smoking and drugs and all that sort. I've been through it. So I can help you. I can love you through it.